All these things have been said to the intent that man may examine himself and may recognize his love by his delights, and thus, so far as he can make it out from a knowledge of correspondences, may know the state of his life after death. I think one of the things that's helpful with this idea is that taking hold of the text and applying it to our life now, we enter the world of spirits, which is what's going on within our minds. So it's remembering that from a logopraxis perspective, we're not that far from what's being described here or experiencing exactly what's being described here as we work with the word, because that's what this text reveals. It reveals principles that govern the life of the mind. And what we have an opportunity to do through this work is to become aware, at least, of those principles and their operation in the reality of our daily experience. So the stripping and the exposing and all of that is really just what happens when we begin to do the work of self-examination with a view to repentance. It's going on already. It's being exposed already. So we do have a sense of what's involved. And all exposure, as was pointed out, has to do with the breaking down of a false self-image and the illusions we carry. So the Lord doesn't expose us to anything that isn't for the end he has in view, which is the salvation of the human race. It's never done with a view to making us feel bad, but the states that we enter into, or what we would say were negative states, if you like, really are due to our own attachment or identification with things that aren't conducive to a healthy spiritual life. We just haven't realized it yet. So what the word does is brings a light whereby we are able to see what the quality of something is, and so reject it freely. And that's what develops a new will, and of course a new understanding flowing on from that. So as we gain an understanding as to the nature of the proprium and the nature of the Lord, so we enter into being able to carry on a more external level those things that are more aligned with loving the neighbor. So as we see our own states and the nature of our own states, then we can appreciate the difficulties that others might be facing in dealing with their own states as well. Yeah, so that kind of speaks into one of the things that is a key principle in logopraxis, which is the work of removing person, place, time and space. And in that sense, every moment is an opportunity for shifting, or having our sense of things shifted in terms of not dwelling on the past and not holding anxiety with regard to the future, but being in the present and dealing with what's arising here and now, so far as being able to examine the quality of the thoughts and affections that are present now. And if we carry that awareness, then a change in our response is possible. But if we become obsessed about the past or dwell on it or are obsessed about the future, then we're not in spiritual work. We can't be, because we've fallen into time in terms of the past or the future. And really, it's not our past that determines our future. It's what we do in the moment. And if we're constantly working to be in the moment, then the future takes care of itself, as does the past. In fact, those things are transformed, whereby, you know, when things are exposed from our past, they're not being opened up to bring judgment on us. They're being opened up so that we can use truths to judge the true quality of the state. And it's in seeing things as they actually are that sets us free. So one of the things that stood out for me in this reading was the idea that heaven is transparency and hell is concealment. It strikes me that to be in a state of wanting to keep things hidden places you in the fear of them being revealed. And that's hell.